Hello and welcome to the People Who Read People podcast with me, Zach Elwood. This is a podcast aimed at better understanding people, the things they do, and the things they say. You can learn more about it at behavior-podcast.com. So I shop at Trader Joe's pretty frequently just due to being near one. And I've noticed that quite literally every time, or at least since I've been paying attention to it for the last few years, the checkout person will ask me a question about something. This is what sparked my curiosity and led to this episode. It was rather hard to find answers to this online. Some people spoke as if Trader Joe's forces employees to be friendly and interact, whereas other people say it's more of an indirect and general encouragement, or that there's no encouragement at all. So in this episode, I talked to Twiggy, who I learned about from watching one of her YouTube videos about her Trader Joe's experiences. She worked for several years for Trader Joe's and at different locations. Her YouTube is Twiggy's Doll Hospital. Related to that channel name, Twiggy also restores dolls and creates custom Barbies. Her website for that is twiggysdollhospital.com. Getting back to the Trader Joe's employees, the questions that the checkout people ask me generally fall into three categories. One category is, did you find everything all right? Another category is asking about plans, like, do you have any plans this weekend or evening? Another category is, I haven't tried this item. Is it good? Just to give a more specific idea of what I'm talking about there. And I want to be clear, too. Even if it was a requirement, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I want to clarify that so people don't think I'm on some witch hunt for Trader Joe's nefarious practices. I actually think it's possible such a rule or if there was a strong encouragement, could be a win-win for both customers and employees by forcing more conversation and making people enjoy the process more. I think forcing socialization in a job setting might be a good thing for improving everyone's experiences. And I think that it just poses an interesting question. Even if Trader Joe's is not doing that, could forcing social interaction by your employees make your employees more happy and make customers more happy? I think it's especially a question worth asking in these times of increased social isolation and loneliness. If you have more information about Trader Joe's practices or about this topic in general, feel free to reach out via my site, behavior-podcast.com. Maybe I could do a follow-up. Obviously, this is an extremely important question. Clearly, there's a lot riding on this, and we need to get to the bottom of this once and for all. Okay, here's the talk with Twiggy. Hi, Twiggy. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. Yeah, thanks for taking the time and doing this on such short notice.
Absolutely.
So maybe before I get to my questions, we can set it up with how long ago did you work for Trader Joe's, and how long did you... how long was your stint there?
So I worked there for 5.5 years, and that was a consistent 5.5 years, but it was across 3 different stores in 3 different states. So lots of different crew members to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And where was that? Do you mind me asking where that was?
No, I started in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It was the first Trader Joe's in Louisiana, actually, and the only one at the time that I worked there. So it was very, very busy. And then I worked at the Austin, Texas downtown store, which was my favorite. I love them so much. I miss them all the time. And then lastly was at Cincinnati, Ohio, which was definitely like the smallest, slowest store that I worked at.
All right. So you've definitely had a good spread of places where a good amount of Trader Joe's. So to get to my question that I was curious about, so I live next to a Trader Joe's, so I go there a lot, like sometimes every day. And the thing that struck me as interesting was, for a long time, you know, literally every time I go in, the checkout people say something to me. They start a conversation. They ask, you know, about the food I'm buying. They ask me what I'm doing that evening. And I think it's like literally every time. And for a long time, I thought it was just because they were friendly people, and that was very cool. And then pretty recently somebody told me, oh, you know, they're required to talk to people, or they're strongly encouraged, one or the other. And that got me down a research, online research rabbit hole, trying to determine if it definitely was
required or what the deal was, but I couldn't really find a definitive answer because I saw people saying different things in different spots. And so that was where you came in. I saw your podcast, your YouTube channel, where you were talking about working at Trader Joe's, and then I reached out to you, and here we are. So I'm curious, yeah, can you set the record straight, or what's your take on all this?
I mean, I'm going to say it's kind of half true and half not true. I mean, honestly, the real answer is it boils down to who your manager is. We call them captains. Like, your head store manager is called the captain. Everything is in like boat terms.
Right. I saw that. Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah.
Right. So like, you wouldn't call them your like coworkers. They're your crew members.
It's like, and some then Scientology kind of vibe here. No, I'm just
kidding. You know, Trader Joe's is a little bit like a cult. You don't have to believe, but it helps. Yeah. And then your managers are your mates. So it depends on who your mates and your captain is, frankly, because you could get at a store where the captain's like, hey, you have to be super nice. You have to whatever. But in my personal experience, no, like that's never been the case. And it has been brought up
not
specifically.
Required, you mean? It's not strictly required, you're saying? Yeah.
No, for sure. At my first store, it was definitely heavily encouraged that we be genuine on register. Like, we weren't allowed to be rude. We weren't allowed to be mean. But it was just genuine interaction was definitely promoted. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you were being friendly and nice, getting your job done, you didn't have to go out of your way to be like, oh, what are you doing later this evening? How are you? It's not like you have to ask at least two questions or you have to comment on the food. Like, none of that has ever been said to me throughout any store by any manager.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes sense, because I was kind of wondering if there was also, it could have been different at different stores and such, but it sounds like you've worked at a broad range of stores, and you're saying it definitely was not like a required thing. So that's good to know.
No, but the half truth does come in where there is a task at the store that you work, because everybody does everything at the store. If you work there, you do every single job. Right. Yeah. So there is a task called helmsing, where you're at the helms of the ship, which means you are required to like go around and greet customers or ask like, oh, do you need help finding anything? And that'll be assigned to different people throughout the store. Sometimes it's assigned to people who, you know, can't handle like doing heavy labor work all day and stuff like that. So they'll be more often the helmsers of the store and things like that. And so that's where it is partly true. Like, in that case, if you're helmsing for that hour, you are expected to be the one going around the store helping people.
Gotcha. So you would say, like, was there a way that they would, I wanted to be clear too, like, even if they were requiring or like strongly encouraging the social behavior at the checkout, I wouldn't even be bothered by that. Cause I could almost imagine like that could actually be a pretty good policy if it was a policy. So I want to be clear, like, even if that was a policy, it wouldn't even bother me. It might bother some people, but it seems like it's something that could theoretically make both the employees and the customers happier. But I wanted to say, if there was a way that they did encourage you to be friendly at the checkout, if they did that, was there a way that they would do that? Like, when they said encourage you to be genuine, was there any sort of like tacit, like indirect kind of, you know, way to encourage that behavior that you remember?
Yes, very much so. And the way they really did that the most is by letting us, the crew members who work there, try and eat like every single product that came in the store. So like, we were allowed to try and eat anything. And there was often like crew tastings where if we got in a ton of new products, we would have like a crew tasting that night. There'd be a huddle where like we would all try the new products that came in. So those conversations are genuine when they happen on register, at least in my personal experience, because we have literally all tried this product last night and we all loved it. So it's genuine for me to be like, oh my gosh, you're buying these? We just had these. We love these. But it seems scripted because it happens so often. But right. Like I said, we eat so much Trader Joe's food when you work there that it's just, it's what we're seeing
naturally,
and scanning.
Yeah, naturally happens, yeah.
Right. What else am I going to talk to a stranger about? Like, yeah. I have this product in my hand. Yeah. And I have had plenty of managers overhear me being like, "Ugh, you like this? Like, I see you're buying two. I hated this. Are you sure you want this?" And like, that's encouraged too. Just being genuine, like be believable, be genuine, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that's interesting because, yeah, that explains a lot of like a lot of the things people would say to me were like, "Oh, this was really good," or like, "Oh, I haven't tried this yet," or something. You know, it was like, so that, I mean, if that's why they do that, like if that's a reason they do that, that's a, that would be a pretty good reason alone to do all the tastings. It's like, it encourages more connection to the store and to the products and stuff. And that's
for cool. Sure. Certainly. And all, most Trader Joe's, especially pre COVID, because, you know, things kind of got crazy there during COVID, but pre COVID, there was always a place in Trader Joe's called the demo station where they always serve like samples of some kind of hot food, and that smell throughout the store gets you like hungry. You go to the back, you get a little coffee sample, you have your little like food appetizer, you feel like good. It's like a whole moment going in there and an experience. So people really have like held on to that, and they've been like coming back around for that like post COVID, because now they're starting to get back into those kind of like tastings and things like that, where crew members are again being able to open products and just like take them to the back, and more things like that are happening. Whereas during COVID, that all really got stalled and shut down, and we didn't have too much to talk to the customers about.
Right. And you said, when did you stop working there? Was that before or after COVID? Sorry.
It was like at the tail end. I stopped working there. My last day was December 23rd, 2021.
2021. Oh, yeah. So you got a long stretch of COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. I was there. It was bad.
Yeah. The frontline.
Yeah.
Workers, yeah. I might ask you a little bit more about that, but I'm curious, does anything stand out in terms of top of mind for you in terms of like ways that Trader Joe's might have, you know, made the customer experience more enjoyable from, you know, from the behavior side of the employees?
Honestly, like it's a great job. Like they treat their employees pretty well. A lot of people who have worked there for a long time. Like there's a lot of what I call lifers, you know, who are those are there forever, and it's great. They have really good benefits. They have really good health insurance. A lot of people don't assume that they pay as well as they do for a grocery store. A lot of people assume that it's minimum wage, which is just like, it's not at all. It's usually, it's, I think they start at, I can't tell you, but
yeah, it's pretty good. I saw, yeah, people can look up, you can actually look up pretty easily because there's like Reddit threads about it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Reddit always for everything,
and,
yes.
And they do seem, yeah, that was the thing that struck me. Like they do seem genuinely happy, the employees. They're like, I see them hanging outside in the parking lot, you know, having a good time. They always seem genuinely happy. And then reading the Reddit threads about it, it seemed like people were mostly pretty
it's
happy.
A very low pressure work environment. I've always been told throughout like multiple mental breakdowns and freakouts, like, it's okay, girl. Like, it's just a grocery store. Like, we're all good. And I'm like, okay, like, nothing's the end of the world. Key, everything's cool. It's like, there's 100 people who can take over. Like, it's a big crew. It's a lot of people. It's all good. If like you need whatever, they're very considerate in that way. I left Trader Joe's because I had a daughter, and basically they covered all of that medically. Like they paid for my FMLA leave after. Like they take care of their employees really well. Like I still have retirement set up from them. Like I have a 401k that's still growing that I got nearly 100% vested in while I was there. So
nice.
They do like treat their employees really well. And like I said, it's a very low pressure work environment. They tell you to like go do something, but I never got reprimanded if like, hey, I didn't finish that. I only got halfway done because I was helping customers or whatever. I've never been reprimanded. Like, you should have gotten everything done on this list. They'd always be like, okay, cool. Like, thanks for doing what you could. We'll pass it along to the next person.
That's great. Well, yeah, that makes me feel good about going there so often. So I was going to say too, if you do you have any interesting observations from working there during COVID that you think people would find interesting or unique?
Honestly, like one of the worst times in my life. It was scary. Like I went on antidepressants that I'm still on, anti-anxiety medication. Like it was just like a really intense situation because we turned into like the gatekeepers, which I don't think we were qualified for or frankly paid enough for, even with the hero pay that we were getting paid on top. Which I do have mixed feelings about because they did give us a hero pay, but then they didn't give us a bonus that year. Like, you know, it seemed like this kind of like give and take situation. Like they reduced the 401k that year. Like it was like, oh, it kind of all came at a little cost, which ended up not benefiting us as much. But
that must have been pretty scary, like especially early on when we didn't know, people were, you know, had a lot of uncertainties about how bad it was, and everybody was like scrubbing their packages with alcohol, that kind of stage. That must have been the peak of scariness at the beginning, would you say? Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, like, I, not to get too deep, but like I did definitely suffer a lot mentally during that time. I developed like extreme OCD and I just like could not stop sanitizing after every single person that came through my line. Like I was so stressed out. Like if I saw a customer cough in the store, it triggered me into like an episode. Like all of it was terrifying to me because I didn't know if it was going to kill us or not. Like it was so unknown at that time that I felt like just crazy that like I had to go work at a grocery store. I was like, why do I have to go to work? Like everyone is furloughed. Like all of my friends with like real jobs are all like furloughed right now. And I'm like, why do I have to come into work and risk my life to sell people groceries, like to sell people scented candles? I'm like, this is so dumb. Like I love Trader Joe's, but I'm like, it is such a, like, if you made a grocery list, like you probably don't go to Trader Joe's, right? They don't have trash bags. They don't have like your needs, your like solid things that you need to get you through the month.
Yeah. Like, it's not like the core essential kind of store. Yeah.
Right. It's like me and my friends, like we'd make up like slogans for other like grocery stores and Trader Joe's. I was like, Trader Joe's, you're going to have to stop somewhere else. Like you kind of have to go somewhere else.
Yeah. They're good for what they're good for, but snacks. I get my produce elsewhere, but I was going to say, yeah, actually to your sacrifices and your stress, it's like when that was going on, my now ex-wife at the time was, she was really stressed out, you know, and we were just working from home, and I basically, to get her to relax, I was like, you realize there's people over at Trader Joe's, you know how stressed out they must be, like, it's stressful for us, but like, we're not even having to forced to go out like they are. That actually like relaxed her a lot, where she was like, she put herself in, you know, your shoes basically. She was like, oh yeah, like what am I getting so stressed out about? Like these people are taking, you know, real risks every day, and we don't know what's going on. So just to say, I mean, like it made me appreciate, you know, what y'all were going through.
I mean, at the time, like I went through COVID, like the worst, the year of it, 2020 in downtown Austin. So like we had a lot of like homeless people in our store all the time anyways. Like that's just the norm because we're literally downtown. But when COVID happened, it started where we had to be the gatekeepers and say like, oh, only 35 people are allowed in our store at once. So we had to like make people stand in a line, and then we're making people wear a mask. So people were getting crazy aggressive with us. Like I remember like I got into a few confrontations with a couple of people. Like it was crazy. And like, it was nuts.
Yeah, it's a little scary. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like crazy that it's like, okay, like we're definitely not getting paid enough for this. And it was just, I felt like a lot of it got swept under the rug, and a lot of it came out as like, oh, Trader Joe's was like such a hero for like giving us more money during that time. And I'm like, did you not remember how we sold out of everything so much because of how much people were cooking? Like they made so much money that year, like hand over fist. Like it's crazy how much groceries just skyrocketed. Like they weren't so in the black. It's crazy.
Yeah. They could have done more if you're listening.
I was on the registers. I saw literally every day how much people were overbuying because people were just scared and panicked.
Well, I think you've answered my main area of curiosity, but if there's anything, do you want to talk about what you're working on these days, your podcast, anything else?
So these days I've made a total switch in my career. I now make custom Barbie dolls. That's what I do full time.
Oh, I was wondering what the Barbie, I didn't fully understand the Barbie thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've totally switched over. I I've found my passion in life. I make custom Barbie dolls. I reroute them so I can do literally anything. I can make a mini me Barbie of anybody. I've gotten into face painting. I've been sewing clothes. I can do anything. So I'm starting to get into more like celebrities. I'm going to do like Rocky Horror Picture Show Barbies, like Powerpuff Girl Barbies, Daria Barbies, just things that inspire me that I want to see and make happen. And my website is twiggiesdollhospital.com, and I sell them on there.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'll put that, I'll promote that with the website. So are you saying these are actual like brand Barbies that you're converting, so you actually get the current dolls and then transform them basically?
Yeah, I mean, I love the 90s dolls, so I tend to do a lot of the 90s Barbies, but yeah, I take them and then I like take all of the hair out of them and then I completely reroute them just like one little poke at a time.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
It's really fun.
Do you men and women?
Yes, I've done a Ken with really long hair. He's gorgeous.
Sounds like a good idea for the people who have everything. A good gift idea.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Or who don't have everything. You could get it for people that don't have everything too.
Or just people who have super niche interests. If someone's really into a book, like I can do a character based off of it. Anyone. Like.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I was actually looking at custom busts you can get made of people. Like you can submit people's face and like get like a, you know, 3D printed kind of bust or something like that. So this kind of reminds me of that. But. Well, this has been great. Anything else you want to mention before we go? Anything that seems relevant or something that comes to mind? Anything at all?
No, I mean, I think Trader Joe's is a great place to work for. They're wonderful. I think a lot of their demographic tends to be more optimistic because they hire a fair amount of young people. You'll notice a lot of Trader Joe's are very close to colleges. They really like the college demographic as far as like, that's kind of their target audience.
We are near Reed College, actually, now that you mention it.
Yeah, they're near a lot of colleges. That's kind of how they find them. And that's where a lot of the like non-lifers come from Trader Joe's, or mostly like half college students and half people who work there for life.
Very interesting. Yeah, that seems like a good strategy too. Yeah, it sounds like they're doing a lot of good strategies that are helping them out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Twiggy. Well, this has been great. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
That was a talk with Twiggy. Thank you, Twiggy. I just like saying that name, apparently. Aside from what we talked about, I think it's also possible to see how such a pressure to interact with customers could develop on its own organically. For example, if employees see that the more friendly employees are the ones more likely to do well and get ahead and such, then that could create a natural pressure to engage more and be more friendly, even if it's not a written policy. I believe Twiggy is correct that stores generally don't require it. But yeah, I'm still left with a feeling that there's some sort of systemic pressure going on that accounts for the consistency of the behavior. This has been the People Who Read People podcast with me, Zach Elwood. Learn more about it at behavior-podcast.com. Thanks for your interest. Music by Small Skies.